Morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Day to you all. Wow. It's raining, so it's going to rain now for the next 7 Sundays. So it's okay. We're going to start today with page 176. Let's stand, please. 176. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord. The light rain falling, Lord, just renewing the ground, Lord. Thank you for it. Thanks for getting us here today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the story, Lord, that we have in your word of what he had to go through here, Lord. But first of all, Lord, he came as a teacher, and he was preaching too. He was showing us the way, Lord. A lot of us didn't listen, Lord, but a few of us did. And thank you for us today, Lord, to know him. And we can celebrate today that we have a risen Savior. Guide and direct today, Lord. I just pray that what John has today, Lord, that you've inspired him, that it might touch some hearts today, Lord, that if somebody needs you, they get right with you, Lord, before they leave the building. We thank you for our nation, Lord. I pray for our nation, that our nation would turn, Lord. They turn to you, Lord, and our leaders will turn to you for the ways that they need to as far as leading this nation. Just guide and direct today, Lord. Be with us in the music to come. I just pray that we just honor and glorify you in all that we do. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. 179, please. 179.
Joys and trials high.
verse 3 is the last. Love's redeeming work is done. The announcements today. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't forget, we have personal evangelism scheduled for the 22nd. Let's see, I got to skip one here. We got Iron Sharpened Iron coming on the 29th. If you have anything for the May calendar, let Deb know by Tuesday on the 22nd. Fellowship, 27th. The kitchen team is Kim and Sharon. Pastor's thought for the week. Oh, wait, one more thing. Help me out. The ladies' Bible study is scheduled for. There it is. May 26th, 25. And then can I back to this? The camp, if you want to give to the camp.
Sponsorship.
The kids. I can't remember nothing, honey. Oh, there it is. Okay. And at the bottom, we thank you for your consideration and generosity in helping send kids and teens to Bible camp. So, if there's anything else that I missed? No? No hands are going up? Do what? We got it? Oh, the thought for the week. Here we go. Are you rejoicing in the confidence and experience of Christ's resurrection in your life? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for getting us here, the opportunity, Lord, to worship, the good Sunday school hour that we had already, Lord, and I anticipate more time in your word along with our pastor. Lord, just guide and direct. Thank you that we can do this, Lord, today, especially in remembrance of the resurrection of our Savior, Lord. Please be with the gift and giver now as we take this offering. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're in there, right?
Yeah. We got a bunch of youngins going to sing. Thank you.
Well, these are our Sunday school students. Not all of them are here today, being that it's Resurrection Day. Some like to stay home with their Easter baskets and whatnot. So it is what it is, and that's okay. But these students have been working hard for a few months preparing this song for you and for the Lord today. It's called Praise. And we're going to do half the song in Hebrew and half in English. Sandra, if you want to click one more time, it'll put the title up there. And the next slide, you have to click again. The rest will go without extra clicking. We had animations on there for it to zoom in, and I couldn't delete them. It wouldn't stop. Anyways, these kids are going to sing for you. We have Jason Salas and Emma Harris playing some hand drums for us today. And we hope that this will bless the Lord and bless you all as well. And at the beginning, we're going to be saying Psalm 150, verse 6. And we'll ask you to repeat that as an echo. And the words are on the screen.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath. Let's start again.
Yeah, we'll start again. Go ahead.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. And with that said, how can we keep it inside, right? Isn't that what we're here for today? Praise God. Good morning to one and all. Welcome to our morning time of praise and edification here at Fruitland Baptist Church. I don't know if we have children's church or not today. Are we having that? We are. So if you have young folks with you today or that would like to go down, that is certainly very appropriate at this time. But absolutely, I greet you today in the name of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful day it is today. And yes, I've been hearing these young folks rehearsing this for quite a while, right across from my office before I come up every Sunday. It's been a great encouragement to me to hear them. And what a nice presentation that was today. Perfect day. You know, every Sunday, we focus a lot on Resurrection Day, and it's very important in the historical events that surround it. But every Sunday is a day to celebrate the risen Lord. The first day of the week, it should be the priority in all of our lives. But anyway, today, if you look at Psalm 150, also, praising the Lord is important. And it lists all the instruments. And you know what? Our voices are instruments. And I don't know, I think I felt a few toes tapping this morning, too, during that song, right? But let everything, Psalm 156, that has breath, praise the Lord. Christians, if you're here today, this is a day to praise God like every day. He is worthy of all our praise. And He certainly is a wonderful, living Savior and wants to be a living part of our lives. Jason, do we have a problem? Okay, I didn't know. I saw you looking at me funny. There's a lot of people that do that often, too. But I understand. But indeed, what we call today Resurrection Day, that has a historical event. Regarding the Passover, Jesus was our Passover lamb. Again, we know Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then yesterday was the Sabbath. Jesus, again, went to the grave, and He preached to the spirits in captivity. By the way, the good news, that there would be a resurrection. It's not just enough that Jesus died for our sins, because that could have been accomplished, but He died and rose again, that we might have new life and celebrate, here's the word, folks, victory. That's what it's all about today, folks. There's victory in Jesus. So hallelujah, praise God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. A joyful shout of praise. But I welcome you on that basis this morning. Our message title this morning is a real rock and roll resurrection message. So we'll see what that contains this morning. But what we need to do this morning amidst our praise, and I hope that is the case in your heart today. By the way, if you are here apart from Jesus Christ or you've wandered far from Him, He is near. And He is but a call away if you need Him. If you want to have victory, if you want to have your sins forgiven and never have, and know that you can have new life, He's but a call away. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered." And He is near today. And if you're walking, if your walk has departed maybe from the path it should, you already have had the new birth in Christ. Listen, He is ready to come near to you today and reestablish that walk. And so this is a good day, like every day is, to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we normally do here on Sunday mornings is we take just about 15 seconds or 20 seconds of silent prayer before I have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll do that this morning. But again, let's be sure that we are in a mode to praise God this morning, to worship Him, because we are here for that as well, not only to be edified from the Word, but to give Him praise and honor that He's due, and that we just adjust our lives here today to let Him know He is important to us, and we recognize who He is and what He has done and His love for us. But also, if there's another need, this is a time to approach the Lord in prayer. What better time than as we're assembled here together to honor Him today? So we'll have just a few moments of silence. I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. But welcome to one and all today. It's nice to see a nice group of people here, and you're not here by mistake. The Lord will either, you'll either leave here closer to Him or further away, but He wants you to be closer today. Hopefully we'll all leave here changed. That's the goal. So let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we thank you once again for a day of your grace and mercy that's abundantly shed upon us this day. And we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came and was sent out of your love for mankind to deliver us from the power, the penalty, and eventually the presence of sin. And so we praise your name today, Father God, and we praise your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit as the awesome and mighty Godhead. And Lord, today we do bow before you. Hopefully we are in our hearts and maybe even physically, Lord. This is a day we need to lay ourselves at your throne and thank you once again for what you did in Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel, God with us, the best gift that has ever been given. We thank you, Lord, that salvation cannot be earned by anything we do, but it was all accomplished in the work. We can't work for it, but in the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came out of love and died willingly for us, voluntarily gave his life. I can't even believe that, Lord. When I think of it, I could cry. But he did. He said, I love you this much, and he stretched out his arms on that cross. He took the punishment for sin, being abandoned by you, Lord. You could not look on sin as he bore those sins. And as he bled and shed his blood, once again, Lord, on Calvary's cross, to cover our sins, that when you look at us, those that have called on your Son and on his blood, you see the blood of Christ without sin in our place. Thank you, Lord, that you're a great attorney for us, too. You're pleading our case before your Father's throne when Satan attacks. You defend us, and I thank you for that today. But Lord, you did not stay in that grave. Even when you had died and your soul went into the presence, Lord, of the people that were by faith redeemed before at that time and said, there's more to this, and there's going to be a resurrection, a new life. And so, Lord, that's the capstone of it all. And I thank you today, Lord, that as we celebrate that on the first day of the week, you rose from the dead, victorious, evermore alive, and planning, Lord, one day to return, but with a program for us, Lord, if we'll but accept it, that makes all the difference between eternal life and eternal death. Now, I thank you for everyone that's come through the doors today. We pray for those that could not be here, even those of our regular number today, Lord, that may be struggling or suffering. Lord, we know that many things afflict the human condition. And Lord, that was why you died for us. It's the remedy for that. We live in spite of it, but Lord, we want to praise you today from the highest hills of our lives. Now, Lord, I ask that you would help me today as the one responsible and also with the privilege to bring forth this message. I am weak, but you are strong. I'm not even capable of this, Lord, but I pray you would help me and that the Spirit would be active today. And Jesus, I'm thankful you're in our midst as well today. May this be a day that is found pleasing in your sight as we celebrate once again your resurrection from the dead. I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I mentioned a real rock and roll resurrection message. And folks, before I go into what I have to say here this morning or what the Lord has led me to say, is I just thank God for the power of his word. And I like to say this before I start, and it's included in this as well, but I encourage you to be a student of the word of God. It is durable, it is reliable, it is dynamic. It's actually dynamite when we look at the language from the Greek, the original language. Dunamis means dynamite, and it is explosive. And it is the divider of men because it is the word of God. It is Jesus' word, and he is the divider of men. This whole world will pretty well much be factioned off, either on those that believe the word or oppose the word. And the word is Jesus Christ. And that's really, they both are the one and the same. Jesus is not only the word, but it's his word that's written here and preserved historically for us to understand God better through it. So what I think is important for us today and all days is that we look at the word of God from multiple angles. And we can get stuck in a rut sometimes. And I like to think about all the different things that take place and all the different scenarios that are found in the Bible, and how would the different people that were there look at these kind of things? What I'd like to ask us to do, though, today, even though this isn't the illustration per se that I'm going to talk about today, we're going to talk about rocks, interestingly enough. But what would your perspective have been had you been at the cross of Calvary? And today, while we have physically not been to that cross, if you have been there spiritually, what was the impact of the cross that spoke to your life? And if you have never been to the cross today of Christ, I pray today that you would understand the impact of that, and that it would be a moving experience spiritually in your life today. It has an impact, and it is, I believe, the greatest event that ever took place in history, and showed once again the authenticity, that the fact that Jesus is who he said he was, and there are from many angles it can be shown, but we see it dynamically in his word. So friends today of the risen Savior, God's word is a divine, profoundly interwoven, factual document. I'm going to say today that the Bible cannot be disproven. There's been a lot of people that have tried. You might want to give it a try. I've looked into it quite a bit through quite a few years. I'm telling you, folks, it's a profound document. It's divine. There's no sharp enough tools in the chest of humanity that could have written this of their own doing. And we know this, its authors were all human, but they were divinely inspired to write the Word of God. Hallelujah. What a powerful thing we have here. You talk about the power of the resurrection. We have it right here in his word. It has diverse descriptions within it that complement to present an important message, and that is the case today. Our message today is not the typical resurrection day message, even though it will contain that, but it is indeed another angle to view the account of his resurrection from the aspect of rocks and stones. Now, I believe, and I did not look this up again as I prepared this message, but I believe there are well over 40 names in Scripture that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a couple of those this morning as we study this. And rock, Jesus is the rock of our salvation, is very important about that, and they apply, again, to people's relationship to Jesus. Because to cut to the chase, folks, and by the way, we could have stopped right after what the young folks sang here today. Amen. That's what we're here for today, is to praise God. But the fact of the matter is, these things apply to our relationship with Jesus. And these ways that Jesus is described help us from various angles to know exactly what he is and what he has done for us and how we can be associated with him. So let's follow along together. I did not produce a PowerPoint or a note sheet today, but I do have a note sheet if anyone's interested after the service, see me. But just keep track of a few of these things either mentally or maybe take a note about this. So let's begin now with the Jesus being the rock or the stone. And when we think about a rock, we think about something that's substantial. In the Greek, a rock is described as the word Petra, and we'll look at that a little later here in this message, but it indicates a massive stone like bedrock that cannot be moved. And so Jesus is illustrated this way from the beginning of Scripture to the end. Today, you don't need to turn in your Bibles, but follow along, at least at this point. You're welcome to turn along if you'd like, at just a few of these high points about how God delivered his people from thirst and death on their journey to the promised land by delivering water from a smitten rock. When we compare in Scripture what is mentioned about Jesus being the rock, we see early on in the Israelite experience after they came out of bondage in Egypt, when they got into the desert just a matter of days, they became thirsty, they became hungry, they complained. They wanted to turn back, but God showed his deliverance for all time in the example of a rock. If you have your scriptures with you today, you're welcome to turn, but Exodus 17, 5 through 7 says the following. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Again, you can read backwards here if you want. Sometimes it helps to get the context, but there was a lot of complaining and whining and moaning. And Moses was having trouble as the leader. Again, trying to get these people of God to move into the promised land. You know that whole story. And Moses was frustrated. And I want to say this, folks. When we become frustrated or discouraged, the best place to turn is to the rock. And folks, that's not prudential insurance. I don't even found it, you know, get a piece of the rock. No, we're not talking. Or the Rock Island Railroad. Some of you that are old timers here, we think about that. Well, that was in the days that it was ready to take its last gasp. But I want to tell you something. Jesus died voluntarily. He took a last gasp on the cross, but he rose and is alive today. And his rock is solid and it is secure. He is the rock of our salvation, as I've said several times. But anyway, and the Lord God said to Moses in verse 5, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Excuse me. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. Folks, this is the first picture in Scripture of Jesus being smitten for our sakes on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that interesting how that tied together 2,000 plus years before Jesus went to the cross of Calvary? It was symbolized there that he would be smitten for the needs of the people, for the salvation of the people. Without water, the Israelites would have never entered into the promised land. God was there with his people. His people had a hard time. Sometimes we do today, understanding what God has for us. But folks, you can trust the rock. Smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted or tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Folks, I'm here to tell us today on the basis of Scripture and on the basis of personal experience, the Lord is with us if you're a born-again believer here today. And the Lord may be working in your life today if you hear the message of the gospel. Won't you respond today and be founded on the rock who is Jesus? So God delivered his people from thirst and death on the journey to the promised land by delivering water from the smitten rock who symbolized Jesus. By the way, Jesus also is described in one of his names that I mentioned earlier as the living. Thank you. Jesus is the living water. Whoever drinks of him shall never thirst again. Isn't that what he told the woman at the well? By the way, we know for sure that this is the rock symbolized here, who is Christ. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10:4, and you don't need to do that, but Paul there very clearly says that that rock which was smitten there in Mount Horeb was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The rock. The second thing this morning that I'd like to just bring to our minds briefly is found in Matthew chapter 16. I'll focus on verse 18, and I'm going to turn in my scripture to that this morning, Matthew 16, 18. And it has to do, actually, with the foundation of the church. Now, it's very important to understand what really the church is, and I want to keep this very concise and brief this morning, but the church is not a building. The church is not an organization or a social club. The church in the Greek, the term is used ekklesia. It is the gathering or the assembly of the called out people. Now, I don't know all of you folks here today, and even people I know, none of us know for sure where we're at with Jesus Christ other than ourselves and him, correct? There's a lot of people that can play some good games. But folks, the basis of the church are stones, and we'll look at this later, that are built upon the foundation, the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the foundation of the apostles, and we are called living stones in the church. The church is the gathering of believers, but the doors of the church are open to all who will come to hear, and the church is a witness to that rock who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen to that. Well, here's the encounter that Jesus has with Peter early in the days, and we'll look at that in Matthew 16, 17, and 18. And, well, actually, we back up just a little further. Jesus is asking Peter there. Interestingly enough, Peter's name in the Greek is Petros, a small stone. Jesus' name in the Greek is Petra, the rock, the massive rock. Jesus encounters Peter here and he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Jesus says to Peter, what do you think? I want to give that to all of us to consider today. Who do you say Jesus is? Well, I agree with what Peter told him here in this statement. Peter said unto him in verse 16, thou art the Christ. Christ means God's anointed, the Son of the living God. You know what, folks? At some point here, before Peter spoke these words, he acknowledged who Jesus Christ was. He was God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God yet today. Excuse me. And I believe this, that faith came to Peter because he heard the Lord Jesus Christ and he responded. We will see Peter in heaven. We'll see him in his new body and all the rest of the things that the Lord has promised. And Jesus answered Peter and said unto him in verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, or Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, a little rock. And upon this rock, Jesus pointing to himself, or the great cliffs of Petra, where they likely were having this discussion, the red cliffs, he says, upon this massive rock, I will build my church. Folks, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the bedrock of the believers. And if you're a believer here today, you're a living stone, folks, and you underscore that, living. That's why we're here today. If it weren't for the resurrection, there would be no reason to be here today. Amen? But that's why we're here, because we're alive. If you're not alive this morning, pinch yourself or stick something under the quick of your fingernails. Everyone that's here and breathing today is alive, but are you alive in Jesus Christ? That's the question that I ask us today. That's what really matters. And as long as you draw breath, you can have that new life through the Lord Jesus Christ and this profession. And Jesus said, upon this massive rock, myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here again, we find a rock that comes into play. But not only Jesus, the bedrock, us as little stones, the Petra, the Petroses that are a part of the church, the believers that are collected one rock at a time by the Lord Jesus Christ as he calls people to salvation. In Luke 19:40, you don't need to go there either, a part of the resurrection story. You remember a week ago was what we know as Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem to offer himself once again. And of course, the hosannas, the hallelujahs rang supreme, but within a couple of days, they changed to what? Crucify him! Crucify him! And they were offered Barabbas to be released, a person to be released, and of course, Pilate wanted that to be Jesus, but the people said, no, we'll take Barabbas, a known criminal, and we'll send Jesus to the cross. Well, folks, they didn't send him to the cross. He went there voluntarily. God sent him on that mission. See, by the way, are you and I on a mission today for Jesus? Well, if you're a born-again believer, we need to be. It's called the Great Commission, out seeking souls for Jesus Christ. But if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, he has a mission planned if you'll ascribe to it. And he has a dynamic thing for you and I in our lives once we have trusted in him. But Jesus said this, interestingly enough, when the Pharisees, the right-wing, over-the-top legalists, questioned if he was really the Son of God, if he was really God. By the way, Jesus told them all the way along he was. But you know what? When people don't want to hear a message, they won't hear a message. Today, you may have come in here wondering what's really going on. Well, I'm saying this. If you're willing to hear the message of Jesus, it's not what I'm speaking today. He'll take action in your life. But here's what Jesus said when they condemned him. He said, even if you snuff me out, these stones right here would bear witness of me along the path that he was walking. There again, stones, rocks. Usually, what do we think about rocks? That they're what? I say sometimes when I sub in school, turn into a rock. You don't move and you don't say anything. But in this case here, think about Jesus. He is the rock, and even the rocks will speak if people won't for him. Hallelujah. The other thing I'd like us to consider this morning before we get to our primary text is that after Jesus' crucifixion, his body was placed in a garden tomb that was hewn out of rock or stone. By the way, who is recorded to have done that? Joseph of Arimathea or Arimathea, you pronounce it here however you want. He was a devout follower and believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But know this also today, if you've studied John chapter 3 and said, I wonder what happened to that guy named Nicodemus. Well, I have some good news for us today. Nicodemus was born again in Christ. Nicodemus had faith in Jesus Christ. He had so much faith that he came to help Joseph of Arimathea place Jesus' body in that tomb. That's how we know. He believed what Jesus told him. He was born again. Fantastic things had happened. But Joseph of Arimathea bought or owned a tomb there, and he hewed out the tomb for the Lord Jesus Christ from solid rock. And again, he also, it's recorded in Scripture, sealed it with what Mark 16:4 says was a great stone. Now, we'll look at this here in just a minute, the context, but know this today. This stone could not be moved by humans when it was removed from sealing the tomb. We know it was a great stone on the basis of the text I just gave you there, Mark 16:4. So the question arises, and I believe the Bible tells us directly many of the answers, but it also infers other answers. Do you think Joseph of Arimathea put that stone there over the entrance to that tomb of his own doing? Well, yes and no. This is what I think took place, or possibly took place. I don't think Joseph of Arimathea was able to put that stone in place by himself. One of two things happened there. Either there were people that helped him to do it, and there was a design that was intended in this of this massive stone that once it were sealed, and what I'm talking about here is that there was a gravity, an incline that was probably constructed, that when it was affixed to the door of that tomb, it would not be moved by any other means other than divine power. But that's the other thing. If Joseph didn't have a team of people and the engineering that came before that for that stone to be placed in such a way that it was immovable by any human power, then it had to have been placed there also by divine power. Either one of those is plausible, because we know this, that a dynamic event had to take place for the stone to be moved. We know that it's recorded, and we'll get to that in just a minute, it was done by an angel of the Lord amidst the time of an earthquake, a cataclysmic event. And folks, that more, again, buttresses the argument that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one big dynamic event. I'm going to say this, creation is one, the resurrection is another. And the events that Jesus will use, the flood, you could look at everything Jesus does is dynamic. See? And I believe, again, it's 100% true. It cannot be proved wrong. By the way, tonight, come back, we'll understand there were a lot of people that saw this that took place in those days. If it had been a thing that was pulled over, it would have been exposed. But let me just say, it's the real deal. Because even secular history records there was a man named Jesus that lived here and preached and witnessed for 3 years that was nailed to a cross and was found gone from his empty tomb on the third day. I believe it is the very absolute truth. And I don't know exactly how it was all worked with that stone, but I think we have some good ideas. It was miraculous, the whole thing. And I still believe in miracles, because miracles are the way God works. We're a miracle even here today. Anyway, let's go in our Bibles now to Matthew 28. And if you have your scriptures, I would like you to open those up. And we'll get right to the point on this. And probably many of you are ready to have a very nice lunch and gather with families today. And I pray that that will be the case. But this is just one of the accounts. I encourage you to read all the Gospels where it talks about the events of the resurrection, the events of Jesus' life, but today we'll focus on Matthew 28, 1 through 8. In the end of the Sabbath, this is verse 1 of Matthew 28, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. Now let me just ask you this, first of all. By the way, this was all preordained. Several times in Scripture it is alluded to that Jesus would be buried and rise on the third day. And this all coincides again with the Passover, Jesus being the Passover lamb. Saturday was the Sabbath, a day of rest. Jesus rested, but he was busy in the spiritual sense that he went again to Hades. He went to paradise, okay? Because remember, he told the two thieves, or the one thief that received him on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus went to paradise again to preach to those that had, by faith, believed in the God of the Bible. And he said, there's more to this. You're not going to be locked in paradise for the rest of your days, for the rest of the time that you'll be given in a spiritual body, but you're going to be given a new physical body. There's going to be resurrection power, and I'm going to be the guarantee of it. They would no longer be captive in that sense, but they would be freed to a new glorified body, raised in the same fashion as the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, how many of you are looking forward to that day if you're a believer here today? That's the power of the resurrection, folks. Today, as we get aged, we say, ah, when we get up, sometimes before anything else. At that day, we'll say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful experience that'll be for all of us. By the way, it's interesting to note here, who were the first ones that showed up at the tomb? Two gals. I've said it before. By the way, God has a program for men and women. It's not the same program, but it's equally important. And I'll tell you what, women, you have an important role. I said it at Moscow this morning. If men had to bear children, who said that? You're right. You ladies hang right in there. Keep testifying for Jesus. And maybe some of these men that have strayed will see him through you as well. But they were the first ones at the cross. Could it be said also that maybe they loved him the most? You can think about that. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. That's the guards, remember, that the government appointed there to keep Jesus sealed up. Well, I'll guarantee you, no human endeavor, no government, nothing else is going to stop the power of the resurrection. I don't care what they do in the United States, or there's many countries in our world and has been for years where they try to snuff out the gospel. Jesus' people will hang in there and they will never be silenced. Didn't Jesus just say that in Matthew 16:18? The gates of hell will never prevail against the believers. Even if they take us out, even if they cut our heads off, we're not done. Jesus is never done with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And the angel answered, by the way, why did those keepers tremble? Because they knew what? They'd been told, if you let anything happen to him, because what was the theory? Someone's going to come and steal his body. And they would be what? Roman soldiers? Yep. They were afraid. And the angel said, fear not, there in verse 5. To the women, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. The word of God is sure. The word of Jesus is sure. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. You can read renditions of what the scriptures say about this event. But we know this, that when Jesus rose, his grave clothes still lie in the shape of him. It was a bodily resurrection, though it was done spiritually. But we know that he was alive, not just because of the empty grave clothes that remained. The King James translation says they lie. In other words, they still were in the shape of his body. But the napkin that covered his head was in another place, in that tomb, and it was folded, which meant what? He was alive. He had a new body, and he moved that. And by the way, the folded napkin was a sign of what when you were a guest? I'll be back. I'm coming again. It all fits perfectly in that hewn rock tomb. He's risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher for fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Do you have the joy of the resurrection? And I have the joy of the resurrection in our hearts today for the Lord Jesus. Jesus hung in there another 40 days. By the way, that was a test, not for Jesus, in his new glorified body before the ascension. Come back tonight, we'll talk about the ascension. But it was another indication of a test. Jesus went through several things, and the world has gone through, and his people through tests that revolved around the number 40. But in this case, it wasn't a test for Jesus. It was a test for people, and people to witness him, that he was indeed a living and resurrected Savior. There were more than 500 recorded witnesses that saw it, and many more is what the scriptures say. Have you seen it today, friend? Have I seen it today? Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is confirmed risen by the angel and the disciples that viewed the empty tomb. Folks, this is what that rolled stone symbolized. The rolled stone symbolized the divine power of the resurrection victory over death by Christ. The sealed stone symbolizes death. By the way, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin might be death. Is death. But the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now to clarify that, there are two people so far recorded in history that never died. Enoch and Elijah. I believe they're the two witnesses of Revelation. They will be killed. But there is hope for us yet in this room today. I believe that there will be a day that Jesus will come with a shout, and he'll come in the air to receive his people. And the dead in Christ will rise first, preceding the resurrection, but the living will also come along with him. And folks, we could hope and pray that that might be our generation that will experience this. We don't know, but we need to be ready, folks, no matter what. But for most people, we're going to die. Whenever I visit the doctor and some, how are you doing today, Pastor Jeff? Doing pretty well, but I'm going to die. What? Well, we better get woken up sooner than later, right? Because it's coming. But we have new life in Christ. Death will be instantaneous, but we'll be in new life in his presence. In the twinkling of an eye. Yeah, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, that's made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, but we are justified in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Here it is. The sealed stone symbolizes death, but the removed stone symbolizes the victory over it. Folks, I'll just rattle this off because it's on the website anyway. Some supporting texts you can look at: Matthew 27:57-65, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and much, much more. The whole book is a love letter from God about Jesus, the resurrected and living Lord. Do you know him today, friends? Here's the last part of the message today. You think any ham is burning? You think the taters are scorched? You never had that trouble in Central Iowa, right? Never. Don't cook before you go to... Yeah. Well, you know, if all else fails, you can have roast pastor. As I alluded to earlier, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 10. I've already alluded to most of this message, but I want to go through it with you very quickly here in our last few moments. And here it is. Our message is about rock and roll, right? The Stones. I know someone's thinking, he's referring to Mick Jagger. No, I'm not. I'm referring to Jesus Christ. But I mentioned about the stones and the stone regarding the church. Let's look at the text here. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. To whom coming, Peter writes, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now, there's an old tale that goes back about this, and I don't know the authenticity of it, but during the building of the Second Temple, I have heard this account, and I don't know if it's fact or fiction, but it fits. And what it is, there was a specific stone for the capstone of the temple that they found to be defective in the eyes of the people that were building it. But later they realized it indeed was the proper stone. They just had not viewed it right. They had not understood it correctly. See how this fits? Now listen to what the text says. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus Christ is that stone. But he was disallowed by mankind. And maybe someone in this room or more today is saying, I'm not so sure about this either. I think I just came because so-and-so wanted me to come, or I'm just here to fulfill, keep peace in the family. Well, I'm glad you're here, whatever reason you're here. But folks, the fact of the matter is, people are missing Jesus all the time as the capstone of life. They're rejecting him. They're disallowing him, as it says here, rejection, who is chosen of God and precious. Jesus is the precious Son of God. By the way, the church is Jesus' precious church. He views us as his lambs, but we are precious to him. He will never allow his lambs to be injured in a way again that is eternally devastating to them. They're under his protection. And then Peter says, you, he's talking to the believers, you also are lively stones. By the way, I like it when I hear a little liveliness in the church. Jason, I think we ought to beat on that field drum a little more often. Are you alive in Christ, or are you just going through the motions? A sour grape or a sweet strawberry for Jesus? There's a lot of sour grape Christians, folks. And I'll tell you what, when people get a taste of that, they don't like it. Our joy should be full, because Jesus' joy was full when he went to the cross, found in Hebrews 11. We got to go here. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's the church. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or confused. Folks, if you live in a life filled with confusion, Jesus will give you direction and purpose. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will show you. It'll become clear how the book and the blood and everything that goes with it fits together in the victory. That's the church, folks, and its position to be an enthusiastic representative for Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, and to help people. Unto you, therefore, in verse 7, Peter writes, which believe he is precious. Jesus is a divider of men. As I said earlier, I think, you're either for him or you're against him. If you're thinking about him today, you're still against him. Be for him today, folks. It's the real deal. It all fits. If you don't think it does, you've got to study a little harder and let the Spirit work on your heart. You'll find this book is dynamic. It's the truth. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now listen to this, verse 8. And a stone of stumbling. If you stumble over Jesus Christ, you're going to stumble yourself into your deserved punishment called hell. Jesus is not willing that any should perish. He wants all to repent. But folks, Jesus is not going to put you in hell. You're going to put yourself if you stumble over the rock. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But back again to the rocks, the living stones that make up the wall of the church. Jesus is the bedrock. Apostles, their foundation is next. But we're the superstructure, by the way. We're a bunch of stones, if you're a believer here today, that are mortared together by the mortar of love in Jesus Christ. If your wall, if the wall of the church is stumbling, we need to shore it up with more mortar, the love of the Lord. That's what it's all about. Kim and I were in a building here a few weeks ago, and certain events took place there, and I felt the floor move. And I said to Kim, where's the exit doors? You all heard about that collapse several years. It happens all over. It happened in Davenport, down in Kansas City. A group of people doing a little celebrating. Woof. Folks, we better be careful what we're founded on and underpinned by. And the church is secure. Yeah, the walls may struggle a little bit, but you know what? The love of God, if we'll apply it through Christ, will help those to be stabilized, but the support will never go down. And folks, if you don't have support for a structure, and I do know proper English and grammar, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing here today if you're not founded on the rock, who is Jesus Christ. My farmer comes out sometimes. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises, here it is, our whole service today, of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's the power of the resurrection. Freely to be had by all who will receive it. Well, folks, there's one other stone I need to talk about. Take me 1 minute or less. It's the smiting stone. You can look in 1 Corinthians 1:23, Isaiah 8:14, and also Matthew 21:44. But Jesus, while he is the rock of our salvation, will also be the stone that smites those who reject him. He's all those things and more. These are some stones today that are worthy of our consideration. But folks, know this today, the reason for Resurrection Day is really rejoicing for the believers. But it's also another opportunity that if you are here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, it's another opportunity to experience and be called to new life in the power of the resurrection. By simply calling on the name of the Lord, understanding your plight as a sinner. Bible says we're all sinners. But there's a Savior who loves us all. And all we need do is trust him, believe him, and ask him. That's the essence of it, folks. There's nothing we can do because he did it all. And he guaranteed that in the resurrection. So the resurrection, the day that we celebrate, is a day to rejoice in the living rock of our salvation. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Page 192. You know, a day is a precious commodity. It's been said many times, and I've said it many times, you can buy anything back, but you cannot buy time back. Today is a day, again, that you've heard what Jesus has done. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, today is the day of salvation, now is the appointed time. The Lord is calling you today to be saved, to be brought into the victory of his power. Today is the day to receive him. You don't have to come forward, but you know, again, all you have to do is believe and call. Confess him. Confess again that you're in need of him. He'll come to your side today. But if you're led, you can always come forward and do it publicly. But also understand, I'm here and there's other people here that love you because Jesus loved us first. And we want to help you if you have questions about this. But this is another day. You'll never get it back. It's a day to move to the rock. Let's sing this together as God leads in your life. I'll look forward to meeting you at the door this morning. It's been a wonderful morning. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelled among men, my example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. We're going to sing that refrain one more time today, but one day, move to the Lord today. He's waiting for you. Don't resist him. Call on his name. We never know what a day might make in the difference of all the things that are planned for the future. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. That day could even be today. Brother Jason, would you dismiss us today in prayer?
God, we pray that you will help us.